Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to talk about the tongue, an unruly evil. This comes from James chapter 3 and verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now that's not a very good description, but it is a very accurate description. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Today what we're going to do is we're going to simply go through the Bible and we're going to study tongues. And we're particularly going to study tongues that are an unruly evil. And as we go through, we're simply going to go to a reference in the Bible. We're going to find a tongue that describes one that is unruly and then discuss briefly what that tongue is like. And then we'll move on to the next one because we have 10, or if you want to say 11 different examples of an unruly tongue. And hopefully, what you'll see in this is two things. One, we hope that you will see where your tongue is still doing something that the Lord doesn't want you to do, so that with His help you can change it. The other purpose of this study is so that you will recognize that tongue in another person who is speaking to you, and you won't be so easily deceived or persuaded by it. All right, first of all, we'll go to Job. Job chapter 15. And we will look at verse 5. And this tongue is the crafty tongue. Job chapter 15, verse 5. Eliphaz is speaking about Job, and he says, "For thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty." Thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Now, a crafty tongue is going to be a wily tongue, a subtle tongue. In other words, it's going to be hard when you're listening to a crafty tongue. It's going to be hard to discern what the person is really trying to say because they are disguising what they are trying to say. This tongue, this crafty tongue, is connected with or very similar to the deceitful tongue. So let's go to Psalm 52 and look at verse 4 and notice the tongue that is very much like this. In other words, we'll handle the crafty tongue and the deceitful tongue as the same. Psalm 52 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue." O thou deceitful tongue. Another psalm says it this way, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." Now, a deceitful tongue is a tongue that obviously is used to deceive somebody. In other words, you say what you want to say to the person that you are deceiving so that they will believe what you are saying rather than what is really true. It is a cunning, crafty way to pull somebody away from the truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, notice when Paul is talking to the Ephesians, he uses the word cunning, the word crafty and the word deceit all in the same verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, watch it, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Notice, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That is an amazing array of words right there, because cunning and craftiness and deceit all are very similar. So what he's warning you against is somebody with the sleight of men, who can use his words in such a way that you don't realize he has just deceived you and tossed you away from true doctrine. This cunning tongue, this deceitful tongue, is very, very common today in the ministry, in preaching, in writing. And you got to be very, very careful with it. You'll hear some people then, they'll say, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And they'll add to the English-speaking people. And then when they're preaching, they will define a word for you that is an English word by going to the Greek word from which that word was translated and defining the Greek word. Now, oftentimes, they're not changing the word. They're simply giving the definition. But I'll tell you, any time I've ever heard that, if the guy translated it or defined it correctly, you could have gotten the same definition from an English dictionary by defining the English word. Why? How do you know that? I've done it every time. So my question is, if you can get the English definition from an English dictionary and come up with the same definition, why did the guy go back to the Greek to define it from the Greek? And I'll tell you, oftentimes, it was not a sincere desire to come up with the right definition. It is that he was using cunning and craftiness to portray himself in a scholarly fashion, to get a follower, or he said that he was a King James Bible believer, but in fact, he believes that the Textus Receptus from which the King James Bible was translated is the Word of God, or better than what you have in English. And so, by going back to the Greek, he has held it at a higher standard than the Bible he professes to believe. That's cunning. That's deceitful. That's crafty. And what it'll do is it will pull you into his scholarship and cause you to want to follow the man rather than the book. You got to be careful with that. It will pull you in doctrine away from a simple study of the words of God. You know, that's an unruly evil. That's a crafty tongue, a deceitful tongue. The devil is exceptionally good at this. If you see what he did again to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, a very, very, very subtle, wily, deceitful way of getting Eve away from the Word of God to then follow what he said in order to be able to then eat the fruit and get the iniquity and cause death. Very, 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 you got to be very, very careful when you're listening to people talk. All right, another tongue to look at that's unruly is the flattering tongue, the flattering tongue. And for this, we want to go to Psalm chapter 5 and verse 9. For the most part, we're going to try to just take these in chronological order. It'll help you if you're following along by turning to the verses. Flattering tongue, Psalm 5, verse 9. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Watch it. They flatter with their tongue. Solomon in Proverbs says it this way. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 24. And I won't give you all the cross references for sure. But the Bible says, to keep thee from an evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. They flatter with their tongue. You've got to be very, very careful. You have to be careful about using flattery. You have to be very careful about responding to flattery. You see, he that flattereth with the tongue spreadeth a net for his friend. What happens is somebody will say to you, oh, you've just done an exceptionally good job. Oh, I tell you, you've just done an exceptionally good job. Well, they may be a Barnabas and they're trying to really encourage you. Could be that they're flattering you. And what's happened is they've set a trap for you. You say, well, what kind of trap? You should have given glory to God on a deal like that. Ugh. The Bible says, he that reproveth a man afterward findeth more a favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Sometimes it's better to rebuke the man than it is to flatter. By far better to do that, because you know what happens? You improve the person. When flattering, you don't improve them at all. They get stuck right where they are. You got to be very, very careful about that when somebody's always patting you on the back. I had a fellow one time, he tells me, he says, you're just my favorite preacher. You're just, you know, the best preacher I've ever heard. You know what that guy was after? Eventually, he was after an opportunity to use our ministry to build his ministry, to promote his ministry, and thereby to make a living. And all that flattery was just a bunch of bunk. You can't fall for that stuff, and don't use it. All right, Psalm chapter 12, verse 3. Here's another one. Psalm chapter 12, verse 3. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh, here it is, proud things. Notice he speaks of flattery again. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. Flattery is just a terrible thing. Don't use it, and don't believe it. But then he says, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. So there's the proud tongue. You say, well, how would I know if I have a proud tongue? Oh, I don't know. Anytime you're speaking, just count the number of times you use the word I, or me, or myself, or we. That'll give you an idea. Proud tongue usually spends a lot of time talking about himself. Furthermore, when you're hearing somebody else talk, just listen to the number of times they refer to themselves. Personal illustrations, holding themselves out as the standard for, you know, how a thing is supposed to be done. Pride is easy to detect if you just sit back and listen, because the person is consumed with himself. More so than with anything else. And when it gets really bad, he's the hero of all of his own stories. You know, he did it better than anybody else, and he did it longer than anybody else, and so forth and so on. You know how it goes. Proud tongue. Now, the truth of the matter is, most people are very egotistical, and when you get saved, there's a tendency to talk a lot about yourself. However, after you spend a little time with the Lord, you'll find that tongue will change, should anyway, and now you spend more time talking about the Lord and what he's doing. So there's the proud tongue. Be very careful about using it, having it, and be very careful about hanging around people that have it, because the Lord really despises that saying. He says, the Bible says, the Lord shall cut off the tongue that speaketh proud things. The Lord's not interested in that at all. Psalm 57, verse 4, here is another tongue. This is the piercing tongue. Psalm 57, verse 4, the piercing tongue. Psalm 57, verse 4, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. A sharp sword. That's a piercing tongue. Now, what is that? You know what we used to say? He cut me down. Or he's always cutting people down. That's that tongue. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Notice that one that's speaking like the piercings of a sword has a tongue that's like a sword, always cutting people down. Now, when you listen to political debates, for instance, you know how one politician will promote himself above others, he'll cut the other ones down. That's right. A piercing tongue. That's a very destructive tongue. And the reason that it's very destructive is one of these days it's going to be used against you and used to devour you. So you got to be real careful hanging around that thing. I'll tell you, when a man will promote himself or a woman will promote herself by running other people down, you want to watch out for that tongue, because that's the kind of tongue it is. It is a piercing tongue. We used to say that in the corporate ladder, people would step on each other to try to get ahead. I'll tell you, you'll be a lot better off trying to help the people ahead of you to do better. When they go up, they'll bring you along, and leave that piercing tongue, that critical tongue like that, just leave it alone. People are not afraid to use it when they're speaking. You know, we're talking about politicians. They're not afraid to use it when they're speaking about politicians that they don't like. May I tell you something? You may not like the person that occupies the office, but if they occupy the office of a congressman or a senator or the president of the United States of America or some capacity like that, you ought to respect the office. Your children might not like the person who holds the office of father or mother in your household. You don't want them using their tongue the same way you use your tongue against people that hold offices when you don't like the people that occupy those offices. They should learn to honor the office. So quit that piercing tongue. Here's another one, Psalm 109, verse 2. This is a lying tongue. Psalm 109, verse 2, the lying tongue. Now, this is very obvious. You just take this tongue and compare it with the truth, and you'll know whether he's telling the truth or not. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. The easy way to find out whether the tongue is lying or not is just hold it up to the truth, and if it is not speaking the truth completely, it is a lying tongue. Now, the truth of the matter is, one time I caught one of my children lying, and this child said, you know, and actually the funny thing was, I didn't just catch him on one time, it's happened more than once, but in this particular occasion, it would have actually gone better for the child to speak the truth than it would to speak the lie. And so I said, why lie? And my child said, well, frankly, it was the first thing that came to my mind. You know, that's real characteristic of human beings, to lie. All men are liars. The Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. I'm going to tell you something. When you get saved, you know what you need to do? You need to speak the truth. Paul told you to put away lying, let every man speak the truth with his neighbor. You just need to tell the truth. And if what you're saying is not the truth, don't say it. Don't say it until you can tell the truth. And hold up what other people say to the truth, and if they're not telling the truth, call them on it. In the Bible, it is a lie. That's what it needs to be called. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31, there's another tongue, the froward tongue. This is one that is stubbornly willful. The froward tongue. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31. The Bible says, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. You know, the Lord doesn't like a piercing tongue, a lying tongue, a proud tongue, a flattering tongue, a deceitful tongue. The Bible talks about cutting these things out. What is a froward tongue? A froward tongue is one that's not easily controlled. It is stubbornly willful. And when you find that your tongue will give the stubbornly willful response to a reproof or a rebuke, or is a naughty tongue in that it speaks of wicked things, you got a froward tongue. And you know what needs to happen? It needs to get under control. You say, how's that going to be possible? Get in the Word of God and start speaking as the oracles of God, and yield your tongue to the Spirit of God that's in you. That's how you deal with a froward tongue. A froward tongue is one that's contrary, see, to the Lord. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4 speaks of another tongue. You say, there are a lot of them. Yeah, there really are. And hopefully, as we go through this study, if you have one of these, the Lord will identify, hey, that's not the kind of tongue I want, and you'll change it. Or if you're hanging around somebody that has one like this, you'll say, I need to be careful hanging around that person. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. A naughty tongue is a wicked, bad, evil tongue. A liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. You know where you're going to find a lot of naughty tongues? Hollywood. And I'll tell you, and also in a lot of business, wicked, bad, evil tongues. Lee, say like what? Dirty jokes, cuss words, filthy mouth. That's a naughty tongue. Mothers used to say to their children when they started using bad language like that, we're going to wash your mouth out with soap. I'll tell you what, there needs to be a good cleansing today. This society is terrible. You can walk down the street and listen to two young men speaking, now two young ladies speaking, and they will drop all kinds of filthy language. You know what that is? Naughty tongue. A naughty tongue. And a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. So if you hang around a friend of yours that uses bad language, wicked, evil language like that, you know what that's... Look at the association. A liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. You ought to say, straighten up your language, or we're not going to be going down the road together anymore. And don't you be using that kind of language. You say, well, you don't understand. I just come by it naturally. You know, a lot of people do. A lot of people do. They have a naughty tongue. Some people cuss so much they're not even realizing they're cussing because it's so common to them. But you know what? When you get saved, the Spirit of God in you is going to alert your conscience. You oughtn't to be talking like that anymore. And you know what you want to do? Listen to the Spirit. He'll clean it up. Maybe not overnight, but He'll clean it up. And indeed He should. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 20, here's another one. A perverse tongue. He that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. A perverse tongue. A perverse tongue is simply a tongue that deviates from what is considered right or good. That's right. He just perverts the truth. And I'll tell you, it's very common these days for preachers to do this. You say, well, I didn't hear him use a cuss word. No, it's not a naughty tongue. As I said, I didn't hear him being stubbornly willful. No, it's not a froward tongue. No, it's just a perverse tongue. You say, well, like how would I know if I'm listening to a preacher with a perverse tongue? He'll say, a better translation is this. The oldest and best manuscripts say that. Because, listen, when a man tells you that he found a word in the oldest and best manuscripts that corrects the word that's in your English King James Bible, who was he to judge that the manuscript he used to change it was a better manuscript? Where did he come up with that idea? Do you understand? He came up with that idea because maybe it's older. Well, just because it's older, why does that make it better? You say, well, it's closer to the original. The man that was working on those manuscripts back there in 250 A.D., a guy named Origen, he purposely changed a lot of that scripture in order to make it line up with doctrine that was false. You can go back and look at translations of the Bible in Syriac and Itala in 150 A.D. and 180 A.D., and you're going to find they read just like a King James Bible. So when a man tells you oldest and best, why don't you go back to stuff that was translated from stuff that was closer to the original than the stuff you're using now, and find that it reads like that King James Bible, and you know what that man will do? He'll shut his mouth and quit talking like that. Just because he comes in there and tells you that something should be translated another way, a better translation is this, you better watch it. Perverse, deviating from what is considered right or good. This King James Bible is right. You don't want to deviate from that. Now you got in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 23, a backbiting tongue. Paul talks about this in Galatians as well. Don't devour one another. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 23, the Bible says, the north wind driveth away in rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. What's a backbiting tongue? Well, you know exactly. You go behind their back and you bite. What's the purpose? Tail bearer, trying to bring them down, trying to destroy them behind their back. Don't do that. If you can't look somebody in the eye and tell them to their face what you are telling somebody else behind their back, there's two things you need to do. You either need to quit talking about them because you're not brave enough to tell them to their face, or you just need to quit telling everybody else and go talk to them face to face. Or like a fellow said one time when he said the word incorrectly, but really it was a great way to say it, you need to go talk to him front to face. In other words, go look him in the eye and say, now listen here, here's the problem with you. And if you can't look him in the face and tell them straight up, then surely don't be telling anybody else behind their back. It's a backbiting tongue. If they ever found out what you were really saying, you'd have to lie to cover your stinking tracks. Don't do that. And then there's the raging tongue in Hosea chapter 7 and verse 16. The raging tongue, Hosea chapter 7, verse 16. What is that? Just angry, vehement tongue. Hosea 7:16, they return, but not to the Most High. They are like the deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. That's just a tongue that just spews out vehemence. Angry tongue. Got a lot of that today. Let me tell you something. Get better control of your spirit. All right? It takes a mighty man to control his spirit, but get better control of your spirit and measure your words, and don't ever let anything come out of your mouth in anger. What you want to do is you want to get control of the volcano in you. You want to get control of that spirit, dismantle all that's in there that's causing you to want to rage. Think carefully about what it is that needs to be addressed in your life or the other person's life where this anger wants to be expressed, and then say it in a measured, level, temperate voice. You say, well, that's awfully hard to do. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. He that controlleth his spirit is what is that? Greater than the mighty. Very, very difficult to do, but very necessary to do. If it's going to come out in rage, don't say it. Bite your tongue. Now, these are descriptions of the tongue that is an unruly evil. This is the tongue of the natural man. When you get saved, the Lord wants to fix your tongue and make it a good tongue. And so we're going to give you more on that in the next broadcast. Let's just go through these real quickly again. A crafty, deceitful tongue, a flattering tongue, a proud tongue, a piercing tongue, a lying tongue, a froward tongue, a naughty tongue, a perverse tongue, a backbiting tongue, a raging tongue. Watch out for those. If you've got one, ask the Spirit of God to help you deal with it. If you're hanging around with somebody else who's got one, be careful in their presence. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.